A desert holiday, let's pack the drag away.
The emotion here last night was so strong that we, all three of us, felt we should be able to reach out into the warm night air and touch it.
This state is as wide open as Mother Hubbard's proverbial cupboard.
I'm not dancing with you two, you dance like you're supposed to.
How's this, boys? Woo-hoo! What do you call this?
Chicken.
What we see and what we seem are but a dream. A dream within a dream.
Ned said it so far, we just about melted our tits off getting here.
I don't mean to be rude, man, but no torture, no thumbscrews. This is Australia. We're not allowed to get into that sort of thing, mate.
And action!
Wait! Better finish your orgasm.
Good morning and welcome to Behind the Screens for this Saturday, the 11th of February. How time marches on. You're with Owen for the next hour. Good morning. Great to have your company today. The girls, Rebecca and Chrissy, the normal hosts for Behind the Screens, couldn't be here today. They're on set. They're working on the short film Dinner with Hugo. And given I covered the base for the Boys of Summer over the Christmas period, they've asked me to sit in and host today's show. So we've got lots planned for your listening pleasure today. Tropfest is Australia's most prestigious short film festival and one of Australia's most iconic cultural events. It's the largest short film festival in the world, and 2012 marks the festival's 20th anniversary. In Australia, it attracts a live national audience of more than 150,000 people on a single night. It's hosted in Sydney's Domain in the Botanic Gardens in Sydney, and it has live satellite links across the country. It's running next weekend from Friday the 17th through to Sunday the 19th of February. So Chrissy and Beck today have kind of caught up with a couple of Tropfest finalists. So we'll be hearing their chats with Thomas Cant, who is a filmmaker, writer, director of Clarence's Kite, an animated film, which is up for a viewer selected place in the Tropfest lineup. The girls also catch up with four young Adelaide girls who are finalists in the Tropfest Junior competition with their film Juice Lords, and you'll hear how excited those girls are to be in that position. We'll also be hearing from an interview, a chat that Breakfast presenter Tim Brunero managed to have with Parisian director Vincent Moon. He's in town for a special screening of his videos at the Mercury Cinema. Vincent's well known for a video series called Takeaway Shows, where he shoots guerrilla-style videos following bands around Paris, shooting in a single take, usually with no reshoots. So Tim will be chatting with him later on in the show. We've got some giveaways. Brand new Liam Neeson film called The Grey. If you watch Graham Norton's show on Saturday nights, you will have seen an interview with Liam about this recently. It looks pretty chilling. And so there's a special event at the cinema in Marion on Monday evening. So we'll have some giveaways. Please don't ring now. We'll announce it a little bit later in the show, but we've got some giveaways for that. Got a little bit of what's on news for the film industry around town. And of course, lots of music from film and TV soundtracks for your listening pleasure to get your feet tapping. So speaking of music, let's get started. This is from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. This is the Cardigans and Loveful. All Saints and Pure Shores from the movie soundtrack The Beach. And to start off the show, we heard The Cardigans and Loveful from Romeo and Juliet. And do you know why those two songs, there's a link between them, why I played them together? Can you guess? Well, they're both movies starring Leonardo DiCaprio. He starred in The Beach and he also starred in Romeo and Juliet. And of course, the director for Romeo and Juliet was Baz Luhrmann. And of course, course, both Baz and Leo have been in Australia in the last couple of months filming their big screen adaptation of the F. Scott Fitzgerald classic, The Great Gatsby. There's lots of buzz around the world waiting for that one to come out. So who knows? Who knows whether they'll pull it off and whether it will be enjoyable? But I decided to link those two songs together for that reason and that reason alone. You're behind the screens here on Radio Adelaide. On digital radio, online and 101.5 FM. Stay with me because directly after this we'll be speaking, the girls, not me, will be speaking with Thomas Cant, who is a finalist in Tropfest.
Right now, it's showtime!
Streetcast, arts, music, comedy and opinion from the streets of Adelaide.
Interviews with artists, bands and comedians. Discussions on the issues of the day and a healthy dose of Australian tunes to break it all up.
Streetcast, Saturdays at 12 on Radio Adelaide, on digital radio, online and 101.5 FM. Wow!
What's the song that gets you inspired? Pumps you up, makes you feel good. We want your feeling good songs, whatever the genre, culture or era.
To help bring the energy to our breakfast show, let us know your feeling good song and you'll go into the draw to win our $150 voucher from Mr. V Music in Semaphore.
Go to radio.adelaide.edu.au and click on the feeling good box.
Or give us a call during business hours on 8303 5000.
The time is 13 past 11. You're with Owen in Behind the Screens. And Clarence's Kite is a quirky animation made by a team of SA students. The film is now fighting for the 16th viewer selected place on the Tropfest lineup. And of course, Tropfest is next weekend, Friday the 17th through to Sunday the 19th. And it's the 20th anniversary of Tropfest. And Rebecca and Chrissy caught up with one of the film's writer, director, animator superstars Thomas Cant and asked about the short.
The group of us doing a 3D animation course through the Australian Film Television Radio School. The first day of the course, our lecturer said, "All right, tomorrow you're all going to pitch an idea for a short film." And obviously we were pretty, like, I don't know, dumbstruck by that. So we all came up with some pretty tenuous sort of half-formed ideas. And the one we landed on was like a kid just playing with his kite and the kite got stuck in a tree, you know, simple, doable. And we just all voted on that one. And then over the last 6 months, that's become Clarence's Kite. And we're in, we're shortlisted for Tropfest. And yeah, so it's been a long sort of like ride since that.
So six months.
Yeah. Yeah, since July last year, really.
Wow. So how many people have been working on it?
The course started out with 9, and we're down to 4, including me now. So it's kind of like Survivor. Eventually, it's just going to be me left, really.
You don't know that. You could get taken out by someone.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you're not
it's
a
just
certainty
me.
In yeah. this.
Animation is hard. Animation
yeah.
is hard.
It goes for 3 minutes. You've spent this much time on it. Can you tell us why animation takes so long?
Well, because everything is not only like made by you, but it's designed. So it goes because of that. Like, if it's any good, it will have gone through everything in it will have gone through a few iterations of designs. And even the story was changing because we started off with something so sort of half formed. Story was changing up until we were animating and like fully in production. So, like, not only does animation take long by itself, but we did it the worst possible way you could really do it because we were learning on the job, really, like, obviously in a 3D animation course, so we were still learning and trying to make production quality thing at the same time. That's one reason it took so long. So there was a version for the course that we did, but then afterwards, when the course finished, we got some offices and went back and really rejigged a lot of it. So really there's two, we made the thing almost twice because we received funding from the MRC, thanks to Shane McNeil and all those guys over there.
So you're serious about this animation gig? You think you'll, after this long 6 month process, you can get into it again or you need to have a break?
I definitely need a break, but it definitely hasn't put me off. any of it. But yeah, I am definitely looking to maybe do another short film or another project, or ideally get a job, like maybe make some money out of this thing.
That thing. I'm sorry, has anyone talked to you about what happens with film and how you make money?
Yeah. Found that out a little too late, I think.
I think we all get suckered in by the passion and the creativity and then go, hang on a minute.
Hang on, this doesn't actually...
I like to pay my rent.
I noticed at the end you had some good special thanks, and I saw Eddie White and Luke Jurevicius, who are well known in the Adelaide film community for being great animators, and they work with their own animation companies. Yeah. Did you approach them and ask them for help?
No, we didn't. They were guest lecturers. That was another great advantage of doing it in the course, is because these like amazing, like talented people could come in, and we like, and the course was, and it was on the course's like dime. And we were able to ask them a ton of questions for 3 hours about what we were working on at the time. So like, are they still, even though like we didn't really presume to reach out to them straight away, they really contributed a lot to the film, and particularly Luke, because he's the one who gave us office space when the course was finished. So that was pretty cool, just to be able to say I'm heading back to the office for nothing else.
I'm doing animation, but I've also got an office.
And I have an office.
Wow.
Completely unrelated.
Do you just want to do animation in the sense of you might animating other people's ideas, or do you want to come up with the story as well?
To be honest, this is probably awful for the director to say, but I'm really not too fussed about coming up with stories myself. I much rather get, like, you know, a brief from someone else, like a set of rules, like this is what it's about, and just work within that and try and execute that. I'm not too fussed about telling any particular story or making any particular point, really.
You don't quite have a burning desire to make the next animation about global warming and saving the world?
I think there's enough of them already.
Fair enough.
Were there any sorts of animation style that really influenced you in Clarence's Kite, or was it simply a matter of we were learning how to do it this way and that's how we did it?
Went with a really stylized sort of super accentuated, exaggerated sort of look. Firstly, because we didn't have any choice. That was the only, what was within, what was possible. But also, obviously, the Pixar shorts in particular, how they're just sort of building up to a punchline at the end, really. And everything sort of in service of that.
No dialogue,
no,
music,
no dialogue.
And just
Yeah.
Story.
So the music sort of takes the place of the dialogue. Just to fill that sort of space.
Cool. And I'm just curious, you did that this through an AFTERS course. Was that online or was it actually offered in Adelaide?
Oh, that was offered in Adelaide. Sadly, not anymore. We were the last group to come through.
Really is like Survivor.
Yeah, it is. Like the island was blown up after we left it. Yeah, it's... Yeah, that's it, unfortunately, because it was a really great course. But yeah, that was done in person, which was lucky.
Yeah, that's really beneficial.
That. Yeah.
Did you have any other previous sort of film or any kind of screen training before this AFTERS course?
No, AFTERS course, I'd done architecture. So
sort of similar.
Sort of
spaces,
but drawing a pretty long bow, if I'm trying to make any direct connection, I think.
We just after a change?
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, if the money in film's bad, the money for architecture is, pitiful.
That's so misleading. I always thought architects were paid
well. They come across as quite rich. It's the clothes they
pick. That's part of the training. That's part of the degree, is coming off richer than you are.
It's the Bradys.
Yeah.
They've done it to me.
Were they architects?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Spreading this furious.
Exactly. They had six kids. Surely they've got money. She didn't work.
No. They must have money coming in somewhere.
Well, actually, in.
And a maid. They had Alice.
They had a maid off being an architect, really.
Exactly.
They were selling something on the side. I don't know what it is.
It was juice. Back in.
Interview mode. So, obviously, Tropfest is coming up soon. You can vote for it. But once that's all said and done, are you going to get into more animation?
Yes, definitely. Just shopping around for an idea to really, like, really excite the group again. Yeah, I'm definitely on the lookout for something else. Should get in the plug to vote for Clarence's Kite. If you go to www.youtube.com/tropfest, and there's a big pink vote button near the top of the page. Scroll along, find Clarence's Kite, and please vote, because we are desperate.
There's no shame here. No, we're desperate.
No, I mean, I'm supposed to big up this sort of, like, oh, you know, get a South Australian film in Trotfest, but I'm just begging. Like, this is just, please.
Straight up.
This straight up. There's no...
Down on your knees. Hands to the sky.
No illusions here. Please. Please vote. And you can do it once per day from the same IP address. So more than once, please.
And Thomas Cant there is begging for you to vote his film Clarence's Kite into Tropfest 2012. If you'd like to check it out, go to www.youtube.com/Tropfest. And that interview was done by Beck and Chrissy, who normally host the show but are on set today working on the short film Dinner with Hugo. I mentioned at the top of the show that we had some giveaways, and of course I'm going to give them away now. I have the wonderful Nikki sitting by for your phone calls. It's for The Grey, the new Liam Neeson movie that it starts on February the 16th, but on Monday the 13th of February at 7 p.m. there is a special preview screening at the Event Cinemas in Marion. So we've got several giveaways. If you wanted to call the station now on 83035000, you'd need to come in and collect them from the station on Monday, because you need to present them when you arrive at the Marion Cinema on Monday night. It's admit to, so call us now on 83035000 if you wanted a double pass to the preview screening of Liam Neeson's new film, The Grey. Right now, though, we're going to hear from Dan Sultan, and this is from the ABC TV series 20-something, which aired last year, and this is Fear of Flying. And that was Dan Sultan from the 20-something soundtrack to the ABC TV series, which aired last year, and Fear of Flying. You're in Behind the Screens with Owen, and I'm covering for Chrissy and Beck, who are off on set today filming short film Dinner with Hugo. So I'm manning the boat, so to speak, and we've got a bit more coming up right now. Given that Tropfest is actually next weekend, it's the 20th anniversary of the festival. Started off, I think, in 1992, and was originally just some films screening to 200 people, and it's just blown up into the largest short film festival in the world. It attracts an audience of 150,000 people any given night. It's on at Sydney's Domain in the Royal Botanic Gardens, and it also is shown on Foxtel Movie Extra, so you might be able to grab it Sunday night if you have cable TV. But there are four young Adelaide girls who are pretty excited at the moment, because their film, Juice Lords, is a finalist in the largest kids short film competition in the world, Tropfest Junior. Rebecca and Chrissy found out more when the girls introduced themselves and spoke about how the story came about.
I'm Tallulah, I'm 14, and on the film I acted, I helped write the script, the shot list, and helped film a bit.
Hi, I'm Harper, I'm 12, and I helped direct the film. Well, not so much directing, I helped write it mostly, and I acted in it, and I also helped with the prop list.
Mm-hmm. My name's Waniki, and I helped with filming a bit and coming up with some of the ideas for the movies and acted and, yeah.
I'm Gina. I'm 14. About to turn 15. I wrote the monologues. I narrated it and I'm acting in a little bit. But, yes, and a bit of the script as well.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about the story for those people who may get to see it if you win?
Well, basically, it's a film noir, so it's black and white, and it's about juice that's gone on the black market, so it's outlawed, and it's about a juice lord who's distributing juice to the community.
And there's a detective on the scene who has a personal score to settle with juice, and he is onto the case. It's, yeah.
That sounds pretty interesting. Now, juice was the key item you had to involve in the Trotfest Junior.
Yeah.
How did you guys go about working with that? Did you just brainstorm and think about things?
Well, we were sponsored by Nippy's Juice, so we had a lot of juice.
Like lots of juice boxes.
I guess we just try to find out, well, what is a good idea? We could have just had a juice somewhere in the film, but we decided to put juice as like a main key for the thing instead of just, you know, a juice on the sidewalk or something.
Yeah, we brainstormed lots of different ideas where the juice could be in films, and then we just kind of all had a vote on to which films we thought would be better.
And there was like, you know, the actual picture was just sitting in a darkened cinema room, just like juice boxes piled up on the table, empty ones, all scrunched up. Everyone's just non-stop drinking them the whole time.
Yeah,
it's great.
So funny.
So you were just buzzing off juice, and that's where all the ideas came from.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Just grabbing juice, drinking it.
Yeah, we were told that we had to stop drinking juice because we nearly ran out before we started filming.
And our film is about getting addicted to juice, and we found out that it is possible because after we were like, I want the apple juice, give me some orange.
So it'd make a really good commercial for Nippies then.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of promotion.
Although we made two films, and one of them probably wouldn't be the greatest.
We did make two films. One was the one that got into the finalists. Both of them were shortlisted, but the other one that was shortlisted but didn't get into the finals was mainly about the Nippies juice.
And like how to advertise it and just how this advertising team did a really not so great job of advertising it. But it was really good though.
Mm. Cool. So how did you come together to make the film?
Well, the Media Resource Centre held a course, and we all just kind of signed up, and then we all met and came together and did it.
How many people were working on the films altogether?
It was us four girls, I think, and then there was about three other guys.
Yeah.
They were all kind of younger than us, so it was good though. It was really good.
Did you know each other before?
I know all of us girls know each other.
Yeah.
But then the boys, we didn't know anyone. So it was good to make a lot of new friends and socialise with different people.
Do you guys want to be filmmakers?
No.
I think
it's not exactly my passion, but I really do enjoy it. Mm. I think it's heaps of fun, but I don't think that's what I want to do when I'm older.
Yeah, me and my friends, we made like a film club, and every now and then we get together and make little films together, so I like filmmaking.
Yeah. I want to be an actress or something to do with film director, producer, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love acting. It's like a passion, but I think I prefer it on stage. Just it's such less hassle, but filming is just so good. I think I prefer raw emotions, you know.
Definitely on stage is better. I mean, me, Tallulah, and Gina all do Urban Myth, and
just heaps of fun.
I suppose it's more fun because like even if you're an extra on a film, you're only on sometimes, but when you're on stage, it's like the entire time the eyes are on you. You gotta like really put everything in.
And it's just such a better feeling on stage in front of an audience. Just the adrenaline rush is great.
Do you think it's because you have that instant reaction and you know what the audience is feeling that it makes it so much better?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You're not supposed to look at the audience, but you can still kind of see their reactions, and then you've got the adrenaline of, oh my gosh, I'm on stage and everybody's watching me, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And also a lot of, almost every Trotfest Junior film and finalist ends up on YouTube. So if somebody's watching it on YouTube, you don't really know how they're reacting unless they comment. But on stage, you look out and you know they're laughing, they're frowning, they're crying. I guess it's a better feeling.
Mm. And you can tell how you did just when you've done the play. If after the film you have to wait a bit, you know, will they like it or not?
It's just by the applause of the audience and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So when do you find out if you win? Or if you get
on the 19th of February, we're going. Me, Gina, Harper, and a couple of the boys are going back to Sydney for the screening, and we'll find out if we win then.
Mm. How exciting! So you've been to Sydney.
Yep.
For it. Yeah.
Harper and I and Bodie, one of the guys, went.
For we did a course on how to talk to the media. Well, I guess it wasn't exactly a course. It was just talking to the media. They said, just don't be afraid. That's really all that they said. But, you know, the rest of it, it was really a really good experience.
So do you feel like you're pros now at talking to the media? Oh, yeah. You can go out there and represent any film?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Harper, Tallulah, Gina and Waniki about their experience shooting the film Juice Lords. You can catch their film along with all other Trotfest finalists Sunday the 19th from 2 p.m. at the Glenelg Foreshore. It's going to be a pretty fun event. From 2 till 4 p.m. there are the Trotfest Junior screenings. Then from about 10 past 4 you can see the Aussie flick Red Dog. Then from 6 till about 6:40 there's the MRC Clip It Music Videos and Music Entertainment, and then the main event from 6:45 to 10:45, Trotfest Live Broadcast, and that will be on Movie Extra Foxtel. So if you've got cable, you can watch it. If you're like me and you don't have cable, well, then you're going to miss out. But hey, I'm sure you'll be able to find little bits on YouTube later on during next week. The time is 11:37. You're behind the screens with Owen. Thanks to all the callers we had for the giveaways for the Liam Neeson film The Grey, the new film at the preview screening, which is going to be on at Event Cinemas Marion, which is Monday night from 7 p.m. We've still got a few more giveaways, so if you want to call us on 8303 5000, you might be able to grab yourself one. We've still got Vincent Moon to come, a little bit of What's On, but right here, right now, we're going to hear from our sponsors.
What comes first, the music or the lyrics?
Where does the inspiration come from?
Songcatcher!
Here comes a good one.
Ooh, I like the rhythm.
Songcatcher!
Is that a banjo?
How did you get into songwriting?
Catcher!
Monday nights at 9 p.m. Radio Adelaide on digital radio, online and 101.5 FM.
Do you ever wonder about the stories the mainstream media ignores? Tune into The Wire for your daily update with grassroots reports and diverse viewpoints. Keep your finger on the pulse of our changing nation. The Wire, it's your independent current affairs program on Indigenous and community radio.
And on Radio Adelaide, you can hear The Wire weekdays, 5:30 p.m.
And that's called Firstborn by The Mood Club. It comes from a British film called Human Traffic in the late 90s. Very similar in look and feel to Trainspotting. Not quite, but for me it was put it in the same basket. If you're just getting up, you've had a late night last night, and you haven't had a peek out the window yet, just going to give you an idea of the weather outside. Today's forecast, partly cloudy, possible isolated showers until late afternoon, more likely about the hills and southern suburbs. Winds south to southeasterly, averaging up to 30 kilometres an hour. And bit of rain maybe, but clearing later on. And we should have about 15 degrees overnight with about 26 tomorrow. So there's your weather. A little bit of what's on in the movie world this week. Well, speaking of Trotfest, Geoffrey Rush is to speak at Trotfest Rough Cut tomorrow, Saturday the 18th of February. John Paulson, founder and director of Trotfest, announced that Australian of the Year Geoffrey Rush will be one of the stars judging the 20th birthday competition, as well as joining the lineup for the inaugural Filmmaker Symposium Trotfest Rough Cut. Paulson says Rough Cut has been established to inspire and support those who have a burning ambition to build a professional career in film or television. Rush says he's looking forward to meeting with emerging filmmakers. He says that Trotfest is turning 20, and that's serious, frisky adulthood. So he wants everybody to join him for a cinematic chat on known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. It's a Q&A, and he'd love to hear from everybody. And John Paulson will offer fresh insights into the 20-year history of the world's largest short film festival. Seven's Packed to the Rafters is back for season 5. It's Australia's highest rated TV drama. It returns on Tuesday, which is February the 14th. It's kind of symmetry. Packed to the Rafters is a family show, and Tuesday is Valentine's Day. And the series last year averaged 1.8 million viewers each week. It's got 22 episodes coming up for its 5th season. It's actually the nation's favourite drama, netting Best Australian Drama at the last 3 Logie Awards. And 2 weeks ago, it took out the Audience Choice Award for Best TV Program at the inaugural Actor Awards. Spit it out, Owen. The series made its debut in 2008. And this year, Brooke Satchwell, best known for Neighbours, and Cameron Daddo, they'll be joining the cast. A little bit of doors closing and doors opening news with as far as productions go in the local film industry. Alex Proyas' Paradise Lost has been called off. The sci-fi epic has been scrapped after filmmakers and Legendary Pictures were unable to agree on a final film budget. Australian sources have confirmed the decision, which represents a major blow to the local industry. The VX, the special effects heavy tale about Good and Evil, was expected to bring in an estimated $88 million in production expenditure to New South Wales. And was expected to create an estimated 1,300 jobs. However, escalating costs forced a production delay late last year in an attempt to reduce the budget. But the gap between the filmmakers' proposed budget and Legendary Pictures could not be breached. The cast was to include Bradley Cooper as Lucifer and Benjamin Walker as Archangel Michael. It would have also included Australian actor Callan McAuliffe. So that's the closing door, but the opening door is The Railway Man, which is going to be shot in Queensland, starring Colin Firth. It's an Australian-UK production. It will reunite Colin Firth with producer Andy Patterson after about 10 years. They last worked together on Girl with a Pearl Earring in 2003. Patterson since then has produced 3 films: Beyond the Sea, Incendiary, and last year's tale The Burning Man. And of course, the director of that film, Jonathan Teplitsky, who he'll be sitting in the director's chair. So there's a great big reunion there of all sorts. It follows the production follows a man's experience as a prisoner of war working in the Japanese line from Thailand to Burma during World War II, and his mission decades later to seek revenge on his tormentor. War Horse's Jeremy Irvin and Oscar winner Rachel Weisz will also star in the film. It's expected to start shooting in late April, early May, and the 10-week shoot will start in Thailand before moving on to the UK and Australia, and it will be shot in Queensland, with filming taking place in both the Brisbane area and the Gold Coast area. And just quickly, the top 5 at the box office in Australia were February 2nd to 5. Chronicle, new entry, came in at number 1. The Descendants, starring George Clooney, stayed at number 2. Underworld Awakening dropped from 1 to 3. The Australian film by Stephen Elliott, A Few Best Men, notable with one of the cast members being Olivia Newton-John, slipped from 3 to 4. And rounding out number 5 was the UK film starring Gary Oldman, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy. And slipping out of the top 5 was Hugo, which I saw recently. Fabulous film if you want to take your kids to a really visual feast of classic old-style movie making, about the magic of movie making and second chances. You take him to Hugo. I can guarantee that they will be entranced. Well, we've got not long left of Behind the Screens now before Streetcast take over at midday. But Breakfast presenter Tim Brunero talked earlier on in the week to Parisian director Vincent Moon, who is probably best known for his work on a series of guerrilla-style videos called The Takeaway Shows. They're a series of videos usually made in a single take with no reshoots, which follow a band around Paris capturing a documentary feel, and then he puts them in an unusual environment and asks them to perform. He deliberately steers away from the artificial feel of the polished music video. Since last year, he's been travelling around the world recording images and sounds for his project Petit Planets. He was in Adelaide for a special screening of his videos at the Mercury, and Tim got him on the line for a chat.
Look, your takeaway series of live music videos are shot in single takes. What attracts you to this kind of filmmaking?
Just like the love of music, you know, and a lot of love from going to see many concerts when I was in Paris. I was in Paris, living in Paris at the time, and I was just like going to see so many concerts, and I was trying just to find a way to capture that raw energy of a live performance in the most simple way through a camera. And I guess we all came up with the idea of like doing those one-take live videos in the street and stuff like that.
There must be a whole lot of issues that come with single take shooting. What are some of the challenges?
Just being enough confidence in the unknown, I guess, in not knowing what's going to happen, really. And I think that was also like the beauty of like bringing those musicians into that space, because some of those musicians, maybe most of those musicians at the time, were not really used to just like, you know, go out and just like play and, you know, with like whatever's around. And I think the beauty of those videos are just really to play on the impromptu, the improvised aspect of it, and let any elements fit in it also. All the people around, all the dogs barking, the little children laughing are also part of the performance.
Look, you film in public places. How does the Parisian public interact with these big bands?
I left Paris 3 years ago, so there's this kind of like the old old side of my work, actually. But at the time, it was like sort of challenging in a way. Parisian people are not the best audience, if you can say that, in the street. You know, feel a bit like people feel very uncomfortable when there's a camera around, and I had a few problems. But you know, but it's been interesting because since then I've been like traveling around the world and doing the same kind of stuff in other types of cultures, and the reactions are very different depending where you are, for sure.
Tell us a little bit about what influence musicians have on how the clips are filmed.
Well, it's all very improvised. We're just like nothing is planned in those films I've been doing, actually. So like in one take, and a lot of people watching those films ask me like, you know, what amount of stuff was prepared and how many people are behind the camera and helping me and stuff. And just like, okay, we just go and see what happens. You know, there's not plans. There's nothing really planned in advance, nothing written, nothing script. And for me, the pleasure of doing those films was really this idea of like, you know, let's do it and that we're going to have fun because we don't have any expectations. You know, as soon as you don't have any expectations, you are just surprised by anything in a good way.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun to me. What are you working on at the moment?
I've been traveling as a nomad for like 3 years around the world, more or less in quest of traditional music, but also other type of like popular music around the world. So I just spent 3 months in Indonesia. A lot of like, you know, what is the indie music in Indonesia as well as what is the sacred music in Indonesia. I've been researching mostly on like, rituals and music, what means music in a community, but always with the same kind of like approach, very DIY, just myself traveling with a backpack and a camera and making films, basically.
And that was Vincent Moon and Parisian music video director talking to Breakfast presenter Tim Brunero about his takeaway shows video series and his upcoming project Petit Planets. Vincent Moon is also a music video director and has made clips for the likes of REM, The National and The Arcade Fire, and we're going to hear from The National right now. This is Lit Up. And that was the Nationals and Lit Up. Well, the time is just before midday, so that's it for Behind the Screens this week. Thank you very much for your company. My name's Owen. It's been a pleasure to keep you entertained for the last virtually 60 minutes. The girls, Chrissy and Beck, will be back next week. They're on set today filming a short film, Dinner with Hugo. Stay with us on Radio Adelaide 101.5, though, because Straightcast come up next, and I'm sure they've got lots to entertain you for the next hour and a half. So good luck to everybody that's made the final for Tropfest this year. And if you have cable, do yourself a favour, as Molly would say, and watch it, because I'm sure it will be wonderful. We're going to finish off today's show with a track from the Doors soundtrack. Don't think I've ever played the Doors on radio before, so this is a first for me. This is Breakthrough. What's it called? No, it's not Breakthrough. Yes, it is Break On Through. So until next week, have a safe week and take care.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to